I'm so excited to be here with you guys tonight. I've been studying prayer for about 3 years, and so I'm going to try and sum it up into 25 minutes. And hopefully it will bless you as it has really blessed my life and my prayer life. So I'm going to pray really quick just for our time. God, I thank you so much that we have this opportunity to really understand you more, to study and to learn how to connect with you more. God, as I'm talking about you, I'm so humbled by that. I pray that you would just help me to not mess it up and only tell the truth. Amen. It is really humbling talking about God because, you know, like things come out of my mouth that might be wrong. But God will protect you, I'm sure. Okay. I think that it is easy to be confused or feel guilty about prayer. So if you are one of those Christians who knows that you should spend more time praying but don't, or tries to, like, be really worshipful and then has a hard time, know that you're in good company. I'm going to talk about one verse tonight and go through different parts of it and then talk about a myth that gets in the way of growing. So wherever you are at in your prayer life, if you, like, have been a Christian for 10 years and you've never had a good prayer time, it's okay. Or if you really have a solid prayer life, I think you can grow too. It's just, there's so many people who struggle in this area. I think that there's a lot of things that we get confused about, and I'm hoping that we can just learn from these verses. And I don't do this often enough, so I can't really remember how this works. I am pushing all the buttons, just like my son does on the computer. It's not working! What am I supposed to do? Maya, help me! Yeah, here you go, girl. This is my sweet daughter, Maya, who's helping me also for the first time on PowerPoint tonight. Do you think that will work? Yes, that works. Okay. Whoops. You might have to help me get to the right spot. All right, so I'm going to go through. Whoops, that's the wrong direction. I'm so sorry, you guys. Thanks. Okay, in this verse, God is addressing Solomon, and he's saying, when I send some plagues or like drought to your land, here's what you should do. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. So I'm going to talk about the first part of that verse. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, the next part too. One of the myths that I think we have in our culture is that we really need to be a matured Christian. If we really want to connect with God, we should be mature. And I do want all of you to grow up. But the truth, we like start, you know, we have that Acts model, which is really helpful in some ways, but we think we should like start out with some worship, but we get a little bit bored. We can't think of anything right off the top of our heads what we're supposed to worship. What does it really mean anyway? We know we're supposed to have a prayer list and go over it, but we kind of lose touch with that and then forget to pray about that. We say we'll pray for people, and then oftentimes we actually don't, right? We say prayer works, but when something happens, we kind of secretly wonder, is that really just coincidence, right? We don't really understand what it means to have the Holy Spirit working in us, and we're kind of embarrassed to admit that we don't really understand how prayer works or if God really, like, why do we have to pray if he already knows what we need? Like, all of these things, most Christians think about these problems and have problems like this in their prayer life. So if you have these, I want to remove some embarrassment from you. It's most people struggle in this area, so it is not uncommon. But we don't have to figure that all out to come to God. In fact, what he says is, let the little children come to me. So if you think about this verse, people who are called by my name, that's implying like children, right? People that are called by your name are your children. And so if we think about what kids are like, I think this is one thing, idea that really revolutionized my prayer life. They just don't try to fix themselves up, right? Like if they're worried about how their hair looks, that's what they talk about. I'm smiling because my daughter knows what I'm talking about. If they want cookies for dinner, that's what they ask about. If they're jealous, they talk about that. If they don't think about if this is a good prayer request or not a good prayer request, they don't weigh it. they just ask. And they're like selfish and complaining about stuff, and they ask for all these things that are selfish. But that's who Jesus says we are to be like. In our faith in him is supposed to be like children. At your heart, you are pretty needy and dependent and complaining and selfish also. But as we grow, we kind of learn that we can't just ask for things, right? We get told no a lot, and sometimes we get shamed even for asking. And so that creates some cynicism and doubt in us. But Jesus is calling us to be ourselves. It's not a pretty self that you bring to God, and you don't have to, like, make it any better than it is. You just have to get the words out. Oftentimes, worrying might help you pray better, because then you know what you need to pray about. If you look at these, all of these are just some pictures, some examples of how when Jesus saw somebody who had childlike faith, he just stopped everything and is like, look at these people, right? There's the woman who's washing Jesus' feet with her tears because she's so broken. We've got the Roman centurion wanting to heal his servant, the woman who was bleeding, and then the blind man who's like, so obnoxiously crying out in the crowd. Everybody's like, hush, you know, this is not civilized. We don't just yell out what we want. And so we kind of have this idea that we need to be mature. But really, that is not what the Bible is saying as far as our relationship with him. Like, we have to be mature in a lot of ways. But to come to God, you come like you are. And most of the time, you're worried about stuff. And that's what will lead you to prayer. And that's okay. Like, we're going to talk about having a dedicated prayer time too, but how we really are is just, we are concerned with a lot of stuff around us, and that's okay. That's who you are. That what children do is they just ask for those things. And so if you let your children-like qualities lead you to God, it will lead you to pray more. Okay. Let's go to the next part here. If they will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. So I think in American culture, we're like allergic to helplessness, right? We do not like to be helpless. Independence, hardworking, that's what we believe in, right? And so we are kind of deceived into believing that we can manage our own lives. And I think most of you would not acknowledge that. You know that the right answer is that we depend on God. But if you look at your calendars and see how much time you're actually spending praying, it's probably not that much, which means that you are quietly confident that time, money, and talents are all you need to survive in life, right? We confess that we rely on God, but it's really hard. And in fact, if we sit down to pray, we feel a little rushed because we've got to get back to work, which is such a myth that we can manage things, right? This is my you can do it, girl. This is what we like to be, right? We like to feel like we can solve problems. We can take care of things on our own. The truth is that we are completely dependent on God. I want you to just listen to some of these things that Jesus said. By myself, I can do nothing. I speak exactly what the Father has taught me. And over again, he's my Father and I, my Father and I, my Father and I, right? I and the Father are one. I am not alone. My Father stands with me. For Jesus, anguish was when he was separated. Imagine that. If you have to spend a day without, like, being close to God, you feel anguish. Like, we just don't feel that dependence. We're not aware of that kind of dependence. Jesus was absolutely the most dependent person on the planet. Nobody else talks like this, right? We have a value in independence, actually. And you've been just, that is pervasive in our culture. You have been influenced by this need for independence. And it is contrary to the truth of the world, is that we are dependent on him. We can do nothing without him. Jesus wanted that time with God so much that he had to pull away from everything else. Now, if Jesus had to pull away to get close to God, that probably means you do too. Time and prayer, though, will make you more dependent on him because you'll have less time to be productive, right? You'll You'll need to depend more on him to get your stuff done. And you'll forget about this, too. You'll forget how dependent you are, because right now, I bet you're all convicted. You're like, yes, we are really dependent on him, and I need to rely more on him. You already know that, but then you forget. So the great tool that God uses over and over again is suffering in our lives. Any problem that you have can be used to remind you, oh, yeah, I can't manage that on my own. I need to go to God to this one. So it's the great thing about, that's why I say, if you're having problems, you're worried about stuff, that'll help your prayer life. Because it's then that you realize, oh, I'm not actually as capable as I was hoping to be. What I was trying is not working. Ever since my life started getting too busy to go to the gym, which was after about my second child, who's 13 now, I have been kind of lax in my exercise habits. And now that I'm getting older, I know that I need to be exercising. But I've tried for the last few years, and I just can't get into it, really. So this year, since I've been studying this, I'm aware I can go to God with everything. So I have these little prayer cards I was going to show you. One of them has my name on it. So there's like, I'll tell you about some more of them. But one of them was for me. And for this year, I decided I would just pray that God would help me exercise, because I don't know, it seems like a silly thing to pray for, but I haven't been able to do it myself. So that's what I'm saying. If you remember that you can't do something yourself, that's the time you've got to pray. And that was like in January. And then in February, my neighbor's daughter comes over to play, and she brings this brand new pair of running shoes, just leaves them on my front door. She's like, here you go. My mom said to bring these to you. I'm like, oh, okay. So they were like these really nice running shoes. I'd never buy them, right? So I thought, I guess I'll go running. So I went running, and I hate running. And it hurts. My feet hurt really bad. I was telling God, God, is this what your plan was? Because I don't like running. So, but I decided I would just try it. He knew that my feet hurt really bad, so I said, I need another plan. This is not going to work. So like another couple months later, another lady came, and another neighbor. She was looking really fit, and it occurred to me to just ask her, God, you know, or I asked this lady what she's doing, and she told me about these videos and how awesome they were. And so I said, well, I think that, you know, God might be answering my prayer. I need those videos. So she brought me the videos, and I put them on an iPad. And it was just the time of year that was so beautiful outside, and I have this little balcony. So I've been doing these videos. And every morning when it's really hard to get up and exercise, it is now an act of worship, because I relied on God. I saw his hand guiding me. Now, he could have given me all kinds of ways to exercise, right? But I trusted that this was an answer to my prayer, and so now I obey, and I get up every morning and do it. It's really cool. So it's no longer just drudgery of exercising. It's a relationship between me and God. And I brought it tonight because maybe some of you are praying about how you're going to exercise, and I'll loan it to you. So there's just a little example of how you can use those things that you've been racking your brain working on for years and not being very successful at. Remember, the truth about the world is you are completely dependent on God. You control nothing. And just accept that and ask him for help in it. All right, this next part is not a fun one. And turn from their wicked ways. We don't love to be called wicked, but the myth that I think applies in this area, in our culture, we feel ashamed of our sin. And the problem is that shame causes us to hide, right? We want to hide it from ourselves and each other and from God. We are so good at denying our own sin, and that makes us aware of some hypocrisy, right? Like I made sure when I was doing this prayer talk, I started these cards in January, and I told God, I'm not going to do a prayer talk unless you answer a lot of these prayers, because I cannot be up here and be hypocritical about it and tell you it works when it really didn't work. So anyway, that was our agreement. It's been good. So, but if you have like been slightly disconnected with God, and then you'd go to church and you'd tell somebody how, you know, great he is, and you kind of quietly know this in yourself, right? There's a little bit of hypocrisy because we don't like to expose our sin. The problem is that makes us cynical about others because we see the hypocrisy in ourselves, so we know it's in them too. We can't quite believe what people say. And then that affects our view of God. So it's really hard to believe God is who he says he is when you're not honest with yourself about your own sin. We need to repent in order to get that childlike wonder and faith again. And it is so critical that we are obeying the truth. The truth is, the Bible says, that blessed are the poor in spirit. When you're in touch with your wickedness, when you know your sin and you're broken by it, that's when you're blessed. That's not a place to feel shame. That's where you should be. And God is saying that when his people turn from their wicked ways, which means you need to know that you're doing it, right? There's such a blessing in being in seeing the sin in ourselves and being able to get help with it. So like one of my cards, I have one card for each member of the family. And there's big prayers on there. And I was thinking that answers might come kind of magically. Like I prayed, I also have a prayer journal. So I have these like for the year. And then I have a journal that I write down just daily things. And like one day I prayed that we'd have no fits today. Like I have four kids. I have two of them are adopted. And the one is like has only been home for 2 years from the Congo. And we haven't chosen the easiest parenting road. I'll just say that. And it's been really difficult for me, and we've made a lot of mistakes. So I'll pray things like that, like just have no fits where anybody gets suicidal today. And I expect that will magically happen, and that's not exactly how it happened. But here's some of the examples of things that did happen. My oldest daughter started to complain about having band practices on Sunday. And she had some on Wednesday, but they were doing like a second one on Sundays, which we thought worked out fine. And we've been actually doing small group on Sundays for the last 10, 11, 12, I don't know how many years. And so she starts to complain about this, like she's not getting any rest day. And one day both Isaac and I at the same time, like the same day, thought, we really haven't ever like protected a day of rest. You know, like I know we shouldn't be like legalistic about our Sabbath, but we've honestly tried to do like some Saturday thing here and there or whatever. It just has never worked. I'm 42 years old. I've been a Christian for like 30. I've never had a really consistent Sabbath. And it is the fifth commandment. So this is kind of embarrassing, but since Isaac was aware of it too, and I was too, and I'm like, duh, you know? Only the Holy Spirit convicts of sin. You don't have to look very far in your Bible to figure out if that's God's voice. Maybe we need a Sabbath. Okay, so we were convicted. We decided to repent of that we really have not been honoring that, and decided to obey. So we don't do band practices then. We don't do small groups on Sundays anymore. We don't do homework. We don't do work. And the first day was a disaster. So, and this is, I think, a pretty consistent thing, actually, that I'm finding. When I think God is answering my prayer, and I don't know how he's using this Sabbath thing to answer all these other prayers, but I know, like I'm watching, I know it has something to do with it. So when we obey, we receive that answer and obey, there's usually always, for me at least, some like hindrance then, some discouragement that I have to have a little bit more faith that, no, that was an answer, even though everybody hates Sabbath now. But it's raining, you're complaining and fighting, and this is not fun. But I really do think God was telling us there. But then it brings up the need to pray about a lot more things. So we have been doing really well at this. It's been great, and it just keeps us praying about, we just had to pray how to do a Sabbath then after that. It always brings up more things you need to pray for when you get an answer. I think only God would answer a prayer that truly blesses everyone with rest. Like, honestly, to have all these parenting problems, and then, you know, any book that you will read will give you more work, right? As a mom, like, any parenting book or something. This is just something else you need to do. God's answer to me was, I just need to take a day off. And it blesses everyone. And I can see all my children's families growing up with rest in their lives. It changes our view of work. It changes everything. It changes our relationships. Only God answers prayers like that, that are so far-reaching that I have no idea. I had no idea that was how he would answer a prayer. But it was just so cool. And it illuminated my own sin, like how I get anxious and take over other people's jobs and do too much work. And so now I also come to him with that little bit of pride that I see in myself coming up every time I try to do more than he's asking me to do. That's pride, and it makes me go to him. Mercy is what I need now more than any of my other things on my prayer cards. As I'm realizing my own sin, I need mercy. So if you, every time you're helpless about something, you go to God, and then every time you see your own sin and you're like trying to be honest with yourself about it, and that leads you to God, it's not hard to pray without ceasing anymore, because there's almost always something I'm incapable of, and there's almost always some sin I'm struggling with. So this is such a freeing thing. If you turn from your wicked ways, but you can't be ashamed of it, because that keeps you from being open about it. Okay, moving on. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin. Now this, honestly, this is what we come to prayer for, right? We want to be healed and heard. And we need some divine intervention. But it is also the part that's very hard to believe that we will get. We know prayer works, but when it comes to like specifically praying for things, it is sometimes really hard for most of us to have that much faith. Part of the reason, I think, is this myth that God's answers will be easy to recognize. Look at this verse for a second. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So I have really found this to be true. As I've written down my examples, God has answered my prayers, but not like just prayers that you would say, well, maybe that just happened, right? He really has. There's stories of miracles, not like how I got rid of all my black widow spiders, how I got a free washer and dryer from Costco, how my sister's husband, we're praying that he gets a job, how they are getting to adopt their baby, how my daughters are getting a better relationship with each other, how I've gotten opportunities to share Christ with my Mormon neighbors, how the Honduras community is being transformed, how he planned a vacation, how he improved my relationships at work, how one son's getting more self-control, another son is learning to be less controlling, how I have learned to have more joy, how I've learned more about God, how couples that I work with, their relationships are being healed. My prayers, my answered prayers are only limited by the ones that I forget to pray about. Like, God is answering prayers over and over, and in that, I have learned a pattern that happens in these answers. So, I mean, God, he doesn't stay in a box, right? But there are patterns that we can see in nature and in how he relates to us. So I want to talk a little bit about that pattern so I can kind of help you be watching for it. I made this little rhyme for you. A little faith to pray, he'll answer in some way. Your faith will grow when you obey and then continue to pray. Because what I have seen is that when you see a problem and you go to him with that problem and you let go of control, then you start watching, right? You stop worrying, you start watching. And it's not like God does a magic trick. He almost always gives me some direction. Like, I've been praying about my boys. And I think a lot about them, and it's too bad I don't have just one thing to pray about with them. But anyway, I was praying for them this year, and then a couple months ago, a guy that I work with said to me that something I had said made him feel emasculated. I know, that's just not something that you want to do to the males in your life, right? But I had been praying about my boys, and I am watching. This just like sounds like something God would use. So as you get used to praying about things going to him with your problems, you start to recognize, oh, God does work in ways like this. Usually it's by telling me about my own sin first. And so I go to my husband. I say, what? Is this a thing? You know, why would he say this to me? Do you think this is really a problem? And he kind of explained to me, you know, most guys, even if you're not being rude about it, they just kind of feel that way if a girl is telling them what to do. And so I thought, well, I wonder if that applies to our boys. Anyway, we kind of came to the consensus that maybe I'm being a little too bossy. So, my sister, I'm not going to look at my sister. Because I'm sure she's been trying to tell me this my whole life. But anyway, so when you pray and then you watch, you get some answer, right? And since I was watching, I recognized this is God. I mean, I don't know if like I can't say that was like an audible voice, but in faith, I'm trusting that God is going to use that. And then I'm going to use all my other tools like the Bible and my husband and some wisdom to see if maybe that's God working. So I just decided that I'm going to stop telling him what to do so much. And I'm not saying that this is a good parenting model. Okay, this is not a parenting talk. We'll have Krista or Mary or somebody do that one. But God is using my obedience to what I think is him telling me what to do. And I'm sure he'll modify it. It's just growing. But I'm seeing miracles happen because of it. Like serious changes in our home. It's not totally peaceful. We don't have no fits days yet. But it's making a big difference in my relationship with my boys. And it's not from something that I learned. It's from an experience of trusting God that he will answer. Hearing him answer. Obeying. And then I have a lot more to pray about. Because now when I'm like thinking about I need to demand that they do something right now, I remember that he answered my prayer. And it makes me go to him again because I don't know exactly what to do. So I have to go about every situation practically. How do I handle this one if I'm not supposed to be bossy, right? So I'm giving you this pattern because I just want you to think about it as a pattern. I really think he always answers. And I know some of you have been praying for things for years. But we see this pattern in over and over in the Bible. Even Jesus, like in Gethsemane, right? He's praying. He's suffering. He's like, take this from me if you can, if you will. But then he hears something from God, right? He submits. He obeys. In faith, he does what God is calling him to do. And then God does the miracle and you get the resurrection, right? We see it in David when he's like, he's not cynical. He's been with sheep all the time. So he's not raised in this cynical, full of hypocrisy culture. So when he sees the problem of the Israelites and the Philistines, he's like, this is a problem. I don't like this. And he seeks God. He obeys by doing something, you know, like rocks, stones, right? And just obeys in faith. And then God does some miracle. And that's what I'm seeing over and over again in my life. I pray about something in faith that he will answer. I get some direction. If I receive that as him, and I'm always challenged to, then I just obey and pray some more, and he does miracles. So I think that was one of the problems. Like, you see that with the Israelites. They left Egypt. Their prayers had been answered, and then they kind of like didn't trust that this was the answer. And so it was hard for them to see how good of an answer this was. Can you imagine if they just said, oh, we need some food. Okay, I guess we'll pray again. God, we need some food. That's how I want all of our prayer lives to be. That's how I want mine to be. And literally, I'm telling you, I'm giving you this, I'm sure of it, but tomorrow, the same thing is going to happen to me. I know it. This happens over and over again. I pray about something, I get an answer, and then I doubt it. And I've had to go back over these experiences and go, remember what happens when you just trust the answer? So it is not easy to always have this kind of faith. I only have a little bit of faith. It's just enough to pray that first prayer. And then I get some answer, and I hope that that was him. And so I'll obey. And that helps my faith grow when I see him then doing things that are miraculous. Okay, last part. And I will forgive their sin and heal their land. All right, I want to talk about this myth with a little video. Uh-oh, we don't have sound. I need the sound.
Why about yourself? Why about yourself?
Can I help?
No. I help. I don't. You can help when more out to eat, okay? You can help when we are out to eat.
Do you have this sausage?
Probably. You want me to help, Rose?
No, thank you. No, thank you.
What do you want me to do?
What about yourself? What about yourself? I'll do this one, so gonna do that. You drive! What about yourself? Go drive! Go!
Okay, so the myth that I think we have is worry about yourself, right? In our American individualistic society and on our selfishness, we tend to worry about ourselves, right? All my prayer cards are mostly about my little world. But the truth is that consistently through the Bible, God is talking to a plural people. We are to seek the kingdom of God, right? If you look at this verse that we're going through in 2 Chronicles tonight, look at I just underlined all the plural nouns in there and plural verbs, right? If my people, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. So I have been learning this year about all of these communities around the world whose churches are really taking this verse and believing it and praying that God heals their land. So people that are in third world countries, they're struggling with poverty, churches that are coming together and praying for their land, and God's doing some amazing things. Like in the Congo, there's actually 4,000 churches there now that are moving their communities themselves out of poverty. So I started praying, okay, God, if this is really a thing that, you know, a community can come together and their land could be healed, if this is what you would want, then how does that apply, you know, to our church? And so I was asking God about this, and in like March. And so I prayed that, God, if there were any needs in Draper, because this is kind of like our land, right? Like, we don't have a drought, we're not an agrarian society, but we do have a land. We have like an area. And so I prayed that God would just show me a need, because I didn't really know if there were any. And I prayed for a visit with a policeman, because I thought maybe I could be, but I didn't, thankfully, ever get stopped by a policeman. And I did get a meeting with the mayor, and he had no idea but what Draper needed. But through a series of conversations, somebody pointed out to me that the prison is 10 minutes away in Draper. And that the women's prison in particular had only a very small handful of people that have been visiting them over the years. And so, just like this pattern says, I like pray about a problem or pray for something. I need a need. That's what I prayed for. Just show me a need that maybe you would want, you know, our church to care about. Okay, that's the answer I got. And then, so I trusted that answer and just went and visited. And, of course, it highlighted many needs, like exploding amount of needs that are in our communities. So it's been pretty incredible to be going there and see how we do have actually a problem in our land. And I was then praying about, at one of my longer quiet times, because Jill, who's a much more mature prayer than I am, told me, you need to do these 4-hour quiet times, prayer times. So I did. And I was like looking out at Snowbird. This is a mountain that looks like Snowbird right now. And I was trying to, I was praying, God, just show me something about yourself. And I started drawing what I was seeing, because God reveals himself through the Bible and nature. So I realized how hard it is to draw all those trees when you're trying to draw them. It's like nearly impossible to draw a tree to all those trees. And then I was thinking how God uses things all over nature like this. He uses a large number, right? Like you have flocks of birds or these huge stands of trees that when they work together, they like awe the world. I mean, atheists, people that don't believe in God, worship this stuff. And if God can use trees working together, how much more can he use people, like a group of people? So this verse, talking about how it applies to our lives, there is, in some way, it applies to us corporately. Like, I don't claim to understand this totally, but God is clearly talking to a people. And so what I'm praying for is really important, and I know God will answer my prayers. But if we pray together for things, he'll heal our land. I think that's pretty exciting. So, and this has been, so a group of us have been praying for this work that has been going on for these women in the prison, and it's, some interesting things are happening, really. There's now 15 of us who are either like visiting the prison or transporting women from prison or being mentors of prisoners. They're beginning to see the Rock as a place that loves them. And so one woman is getting released next week and planning to come, who's about to have her baby and has never been able to have a baby and not get on drugs. And she's planning on coming to the Rock because she thinks we're a safe, loving place. These are women that don't have any communities, and we'll see what this what happens. I mean, you might be uncomfortable with this, but don't blame me. This is, God is doing this. I did not tell her to come. I'm just, like, showing up. And 4 people came last week. Some of you might have met them. Shay brought some people from Orange Street, which is the halfway house, and they were just sobbing during worship. The numbers are growing. I hear they have these prayer lists on their walls, and they're praying for these, like, 50 women in the prison, praying for holiness and righteousness, which is pretty cool to have all these incarcerated women praying for righteousness, right? And all of this is happening through just applying faith and doing small acts of love. We know that we're supposed to love our neighbor, and I know many of you already are loving your neighbor, like, and seeing the mission to the city this summer, all those people working, you, I think, as a church, are doing a pretty good job of this. But if you don't have an area and you don't know what to do, you can talk to me about this, because we are trying to make a way that everybody can fit in, everybody can play a part. But even if there's nothing that you do in this ministry, that's okay. It's not really a ministry, it's just, I want us to care about a problem together and pray about it, and let's just see what God does. Are you good with that? Okay. So we could care about this problem and pray about it, and we'll just see. And that's how I want your whole prayer lives to look like. So we're going to just apply these principles in this one area corporately, because it's my experiment. I don't know if God really does heal land. These other countries it's happening in, like, people will have amazing crops, or everybody now goes to school, or, like, amazing things. But it's kind of an experiment for me. I only have a little bit of faith. Remember I told you, like, a little bit, enough to pray about it, and then we'll just see what happens. And you don't have to serve in this area. You can serve wherever you want. I just think when we care about something, we pray about it, God will do something. He'll, like, convict you of some sin. I'm sure he will, because that's what he does all the time. And you'll realize you've been ignoring your neighbor, and you'll repent, and you'll go, would you like some dinner or something? And God will do miracles. That's what he's doing. So let's just go ahead and pray together, and then we'll have our small group time. God, we're just so in love with you. Just love you so much. We're so thankful that you hear us, that you created us, that you work everything together, that you bless us, that you're just waiting for us to cry out to you and you want to take care of us. And we're so sorry that we oftentimes don't submit to that. We want to do it on our own. It's just so stupid. And so, God, I just thank you that you have convict us, that you call us, you give us mercy and grace. God, I pray for this problem that we're seeing in our community, these women who have had traumatized lives. They go into prison where they're traumatized every day, and they don't feel loved by the church. And they leave prison, and they don't go to a church at all. And 2/3 of them go back to prison within 3 years. And that affects us, God. It affects us in the church. It affects us in a lot of ways. We have moms abandoning their babies, drugs in our schools and on our streets. God, we don't want this. So we pray that you would take care of it. And we don't know how you're going to do it, but we will watch, God, and thank you for the answer. It's in your name we pray. Amen.